This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour, Brock and Salk, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. And Bobby Wagner's just sitting down at our table with us here, Brock. It's a busy day, baseball trade deadline, and we'll talk to John Morosi coming up here in a half hour. Brock was out of camp yesterday, so he's got all kinds of takeaways from his day of watching practice. But let's chat first with Bobby Wagner. Hi, Bobby. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How different is this for you, man? It's just been interesting watching you doing everything out on the field, and then immediately you're right over here talking to the press. And you're like the guy everyone is going to right now. Is it getting exhausting?
No, I'm good. I think it's a little bit of an adjustment. I think Sherm did a lot more of the media talking. But, I'm excited for the challenge. I'm excited to show my growth. And I think it'll be fun.
Is that something you prepare for?
Growth?
No, yes, growth. I mean, taking on some more of the vocal element of it and the outward facing to the media, to the fans. Do you think about it beforehand? Is there, you train to play a football game. Do you do some thinking, preparing, training to do the press conferences, et cetera?
I think at the end of the day, as far as press conference, I don't really want to prepare for anything. I think for me, I listen to people that I admire, the way they speak and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, you want to be genuine. You want to be yourself. So I feel like sometimes, like, people, go and get a coach and all this other stuff, and they're coached up so much to what to say that they come off as robotic. So, I want a lot of my feelings and a lot of my thoughts to be genuine and to be from the heart.
What is leadership to you, Bobby?
Leadership to me is just, getting the best out of everybody and, making everybody around you better. I think that's the main thing for me. I think anybody that you say is a great leader, that's definitely one of the things that they were able to do. They were able to get the people around them, get the most out of the people around them, and make everybody around them better. And that's what I'm focused on.
It's pretty interesting. I think it was last week or the beginning of the week. Had a chance to sit down with Ken Norton and a couple of the other coordinators, Bobby, with some of the season ticket holders, and ask Ken, how much different are you today after your experience in Oakland? And we got to talking about you and KJ and everything else and how it's now come full circle. More opportunity for you in the leadership role. Obviously, he's now the defensive coordinator. How much different is Coach Norton and maybe his expectations for you as well?
I definitely feel like he's grown a lot. I think that was one of the first things that when he came back, we kind of both said to each other. I think I said, don't treat me like a little rookie. And, he's definitely had a lot of experience in, down in Oakland. But I'm excited, man. Excited for this opportunity. Like you said, it's full circle. I think when we first got here, he had aspirations of doing things bigger than just being a linebackers coach. And I obviously had aspirations of, taking my game to another level. And, I think there's still a level that I can reach, that I haven't. And I feel like there's a level that Coach Norton wants to reach. And I feel like, it'd be a dream come true if we can kind of do that together.
Bobby Wagner joining us here on Brock and Salk. I think when we talked to you after minicamp, you said you couldn't really judge too much until the pads came on. Mm-hmm. And the last couple of days, you guys have had the pads on.
Yeah.
What have you seen?
I've seen a lot of energy out there. I've seen a lot of guys, flying around. Shaquem obviously is made a big impression just the way he's picking up the defense.
Does he have as much energy as he was rumored to have?
Yeah, he got a lot of energy. I think it's still kind of hard because, when you play a game, it brings a whole different energy out of you. But, he definitely got juice during practice. And, I'm loving what I'm seeing out of the guys. It's a lot of guys, even his brother. So it's going to be fun to see them play their first game.
It's interesting you say that. I got a little picture for the first time in my mind, Bobby, as you're saying that. The practice is maybe like lifting weights, and you're doing your like warm-up sets, you're 225. You can do a lot of work, but ultimately in a game, you're maxing out, right? It's, okay, now what can you really do when you get all this work and now you go and max it out? Is there's really no substitute for the finishing and tackling of game time, is there?
Yeah, we always say the practice is the toughest part, because you got to do all these different things, but When it comes to the game is when you kind of let loose and have fun. And, you know, they try to make practice as fun as they possibly can. But, you know, it's nothing like, you know, getting out there in front of fans and doing all the things that you love to do and making the plays and seeing other people around you make the plays that you watch them may have missed during practice and, you know, seeing the study come into fruition during the game.
You know, Bobby, I think one of the things you can tell and have a unique perspective on, though, is playing linebacker versus some of these other guys and seeing a new system with Schottenheimer, some of its new wrinkles, couple new offensive linemen, and certainly these running backs. So from your perspective of covering them, of chasing them down here 9-on-7, you getting a feel for these new running backs?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Chris Carson is definitely a guy that pops out. You know, I've been kind of saying it. Well, I haven't said it to the media, but you know, since OTAs, he just looks different. He just looks different than everybody else. And, you know, I'm excited for him to get his opportunity. You know, we've seen a little bit of him last year, but unfortunately he had a nasty injury. So, you know, I'm excited to see him over 16 games.
Does he remind you of somebody? Does he remind you of someone you've played against over your 6-7 years in the league, skill set wise?
I don't know if I've watched enough of him to kind of compare him to, but he definitely has like a kind of an Adrian Peterson type feel, the way he kind of moves and the way he's built and things of that nature. But, you know, I definitely feel like he has to do a little bit more on the field.
How about Penny?
Penny's looking good. You know, I think he's picking up everything really well. You know, you obviously, you know, when he comes out in the backfield and you know, runs routes, he runs really, very good routes. But again, you know, I'm excited to see him, you know, in the game. You know, I think people move differently and approach things differently when they're in the game.
When we talked to you, as I said, around minicamp, you took the time to reach out without a question and just kind of talk to Earl Thomas almost indirectly through the media and say how much you guys missed him. I completely butchered my attempt to talk about his name in your mouth, and that has been played now I don't know how many times on the station because Lydia thinks it's the funniest, stupidest thing I've ever said.
Thank you, Lydia.
Probably is. Yes, Lydia is much better than I am. What is that like now without Earl not being here?
Obviously, it's tough. You know, he's a great player, a great person to have on the field. But, you know, I think during OTAs was a time for that, which is why I said it during OTAs. But, you know, in mini camp, we're so close to season, and, you know, we have to focus on who's here. And I feel we kind of been through it. The situation with Cam is kind of a little bit similar. And I felt like we focused too much on him not being here. And so, you know, this go around, you know, that's not my intentions on doing so. I think, you know, he knows my support. We want him here. We want everything to work out. But there's a business side to that, you know, the guys on the field that have no, you know, control over that. So, you know, we're just focusing on the people that's here. And, you know, he knows he has our support.
Is that something that either, A, you talk about with the other guys on the team, or, B, needs to maybe be reminded as you get into actual game situations? That's when things seem to sort of hit that pitch with Cam a couple of years ago. And, you know, you come out, unfortunately, lose the first couple games of the year, and it felt like his presence loomed a little bit larger because of it. Can you learn from that as you actually go into games this year?
Yeah, I definitely feel like you can learn from it. You know, I think obviously, like at that time, we were still relatively young, per se, and that was one element that we haven't experienced. You know, maybe a little bit with Marshawn, but not to that magnitude. And, you know, I think we definitely learned from it. And I don't know if it's something that you kind of like talk about right now, because I think a lot of guys are focused on, you know, learning the playbook and making their plays and making the team and making sure they're, you know, they're on this team so they can provide for their family. But I definitely feel like, you know, it could be something that needs to be addressed when the regular season comes, just to know that, you know, we got to focus on who's here and make sure we don't repeat.
Hey, Bobby, I know you got to get to running here as well. My last question, I'm back here at ESPN, and just during our last break, I was in podcast room. and even those guys here nationally, like, yeah, Seahawks, I don't know, 7-9. You know, there were other reports, a week or two ago, oh, Seahawks, they're 4-12. And even one of these guys here is like, their defense just going to, you know, take such a step back. It can't be what they want. So everything was built on that defense. Do you feel some of this outside noise at all? Some of this doubt maybe for the first time in a long time that's creeping up, at least from a national perspective?
Not really. I mean, I can't sit here and say that it's anything that we haven't been through. When I was first, when I first got here, they didn't think we were going to be good. And then when we were good, they didn't think we were going to be good that long. So they always going to have their opinion. And, you know, I think, like I said before, I think they doubt the talent that we have in this room. And, you know, there's guys that's been here like myself is ready to elevate his game to another level, which I plan on doing. And, you know, it's going to be fun, especially seeing their faces when we prove them wrong.
I think it's hard for people when they don't know the names.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, I don't know who that guy is, so yeah. He must not be any good. And the oddity 100%. About the NFL is it seems in a lot of cases, once you do know the names, maybe the players aren't as good as they once were. And not in every case, but how many of these young players that we don't know about have you watched out here every day and said, man, that guy is going to be something special?
I mean, 100%. I mean, even like a fan of the Lakers, when you sit here and you have, you know, guys that you've grown up watching for a long period of time, they become your favorite player, and then your favorite player leaves. You know, you got to be loyal to your favorite player. So anybody that's playing in the position of your favorite player, you're going to think it's trash.
Of stuff so, that he...
Oh, well, don't know what that is. Sorry, go on.
Surprise. So, you know, it's a, you know, fans got to just give it a chance. You know, we're going to be fine. You know, I firmly believe that. And, you know, a guy that stands out to me is definitely Tarik Thomas. You know, he's been out here, I think, almost have a pick a day so far, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, we got some ballers. Shaq is doing great. Both Shaqs, I guess, is doing great. And, you know, KJ's KJ, me. And I think the D-line is going to be great. And, you know, we're gonna shock some people.
Lakers going to be okay, though, right, with LeBron?
Lakers going to be okay.
I feel like I mean, that's a name James, that you know. He'll be okay.
If you got LeBron James on your team, you're going to be fine.
How about LeBron yesterday?
Yeah, shout out to him, man. You know, he's a, you know, a guy that continues to inspire me, not only on the court, not field, on yeah. the court and off the court. You know, to be able to put a school out there, man, is inspiring. You know, the things that he's done, you know, from a business perspective, from – a person's perspective is inspiring, and you know, so you know, shout out to him. I thank him for being the role model that he is, and you know, even guys like myself is looking up to him.
That's pretty cool. Well, Bobby, I think there are going to be a lot of people saying that about you this year. We appreciate it. Thanks for taking a few minutes with us, and we'll talk soon.
Appreciate you.
All right, there you go. There's Bobby Wagner taking a few minutes here, and yeah, we didn't get a chance much to talk about that LeBron thing, Brock, but that is pretty sweet what he did. Oh my God.
Help build school.
He had himself. No, I mean, did you see that every graduate of that school has college paid for?
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Every graduate of that school has college paid for.
Hey, congratulations, by the way.
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's 12 minutes in the name and the mouth and everything
right,
else.
Thank
like, seriously,
you. All right. All right.
It's the greatest moment of my life. Bobby Wagner saying thank you. Oh, yeah. So nice.
He kind of shouted you and LeBron out, I would say.
Is that what
so.
You were cutting up, Lydia? Is that the noise that you were cutting up? You just wanted to cut up that thank
that
you, Lydia?
That was C. Raj, actually. Yeah, thank you for bad. Blaming me.
Oh.
Thank you, Lydia.
Stupid.
Just kidding.
Lydia.
I didn't mean to call him.
Oh, wow. Lydia just immediately passing the blame over to C. Raj. Oh, that wasn't me. That would be Curtis right under the bus. See you later.
Yeah, way to keep me up on the board, Lydia.
I'm sorry, that was freshwater.
Curtis, very simple. Just say, keep my name out your mouth. Let's get to Brock's takeaways from yesterday.
We will for sure.
All right. Play the music. What the heck's going on back there?
This one's all me.
You guys
so
are cackling at each other like a bunch of geese. Play the music.
See what happens when you point fingers? There's
terrible.
A bunch of point back right back at you. I'll give you a little takeaway. I don't even have to have the music.
Oh, you need the music.
Up.
You can't do takeaways without music. What are you kidding me?
Everybody knows that.
Brock.
Takeaways.
There we go.
I'm feeling the energy in that room right now. I love it. Hey, Russell, by the way. And that's what I said to this podcast producer. I'm like, yeah, you can short the Seahawks all you want. You can doubt them. You know, Russell's pretty good, right? Like yesterday, just reminded of that. You saw it at practice, Mike, when you were there a couple days ago. And yesterday must have been the play action shot period because they were taking the deep play action. He had space around him. And then he's just dropping dime after dime after dime. And I was standing next to Danny and Brady, and I didn't want to be football geek guy. And Dave Wyman was there, too. And I hate being that guy like, oh, do you see this? I don't know. Do you see that? But there is a concrete, very clear fundamental that Russell's working on, and it's at the end of his drop. That when he's getting to you would call it the either the top or the bottom of the drop. When he finishes his drop back, he has been asked to be very, very quiet with his feet and his movement. And I think it's a Schottenheimer emphasis to, hey, you're such a great athlete. I don't want you looking to scramble. I don't want those feet moving. I want you to be set back there, kind of like Tom Brady. When I think of the best at that, both Tom and Aaron, and probably even Drew Brees to that degree, they get to the end of their drop, and they are so composed. And Russell's, man, he's loving it. He's being coached hard. And, you know, here's cut one, Schottenheimer, you know, on really getting to Russell. And I think seeing how Russell likes that coaching, too.
Yeah, I think there's buttons. I got on today about something pretty simple. Because he sees things so quick, and so he's always kind of got a quick response. And it was kind of like, whoa, hold on, listen to me. He kind of loved it. You know, he kind of laughed at it. He's like, yeah, you're right. But again, it's really a lot of good give and take. You know, he's taught me a bunch of stuff that they've done here for a long time, very successful. We've introduced them to some new things that he's never done before. It's getting him comfortable with some of those things, but it's great give and take, and that's because we've worked hard at the relationship.
And I love that, and I think that's super healthy. And I watched Matt Ryan on Saturday. You want to talk about arm talent and arm strength? It's not even close. I mean, Russell's arm and what he is capable of doing and pushing the ball all over the field with tremendous velocity. It was on display yesterday, and Schottenheimer pushing buttons, that's a good thing.
Yeah, text message 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. Lydia and Mike Davis just throwing daggers at C-Roch, they say.
Yeah, at least she addressed me by name. Didn't cower in fear like Mike Davis.
Whoa.
A weak-minded Mike Davis.
Text message. Can't
is that,
push
is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
How dare you. Text message. You know, you can't push the music button when you're pointing fingers. Oh. All right, what's next?
Takeaways.
Why is Lydia going all quiet?
Nah, right? She's very quiet. She's looking for the right drops to embarrass me since I'm making fun of her. She's afraid to go toe-to-toe without the use of all the dumb things I've said in my life. Quit cackling back there, Howdy. I hear you.
I said to you earlier in Blue 42, I will run to watch the one-on-one pass drill, and it was very difficult, very different than in years past. The offensive tackles, Mike, actually won. They won most of the time. Nas Jones on the inside, as I said in Blue 42, was getting after Justin Britt and some of those guys. I'll tell you, I was watching, and KJ Wright actually came into that drill out of the 7-on-7, a one-on-one pass cover, and came down and put some rushes on. They're going to need, I think, some of that. Whether that's Shaquem Griffin eventually, I hope. Whether it's KJ Wright, they're going to need a little bit of a mix-up because the Marcus Smith and Brandon Jackson without Frank Clark and without Deion Jordan right now, that's just league average stuff to maybe even below league average stuff, and they're going to need more out of that pass rush. And it was pretty abundantly clear when you watch that one-on-one pass drill where there was Cliff Averill, where there was Michael Bennett, where there was Chris Clemens, where there were guys that could do serious damage off the edge. The tackles largely had their way with it yesterday.
That's not good news. I mean, obviously, it's nice to see that the offensive line is gelling. That's important, but that's the problem. All these things, whenever one side beats the other, you're worried, right? Like, I love to see that Shaquem Griffin came up with a pick. I don't necessarily need it to be on Russell Wilson, though, yesterday, right? Yeah. I like to hear Bobby Wagner say, I think he was talking about Tedrick. Tedrick Thompson's had all these picks, pick a day, is playing really well. But, you know, each time he picks somebody off, that means the offense is failing. So it's always hard to judge what's good news and what's bad news.
Tedrick Thomas, which is a little morph between Earl Thomas and Tedrick Thompson.
Is that a good thing?
Sure.
Like he's so close to Earl that he already kind of reminds him of him?
I think so.
I guess that's a good thing. Good takeaway.
Takeaways.
I'll tell you what, it was kind of nice to see Brandon Marshall get some legit run and legit work, and not only in the individual drills, some one-on-one drills, a little bit of 7-on-7, just working his way, hopefully, eventually, to getting into the 11-on-11 drills, and that's just a big man. I mean, he wears
really
Chris's number 15, right? And I think that's part of it. But you just stack him up against other good-sized guys. I mean, Jerron Brown and Johnson, they're not small guys, Marcus Johnson. But Brandon is just a cut above. He is one big dude and knows how to leverage and use that body, even if he isn't as springy and twitchy as he was 5 to 10 years ago.
He's an interesting one for me because we haven't talked that much about him. When he signed here, it felt like a bit of an afterthought. He didn't have a good year last year. We've kind of seen this story before. Older receiver, large receiver at the end of his career, and they kind of show up. up and they make a catch or two at camp. They don't make the team, or maybe they do and don't do much. We saw Braylon Edwards and we saw T.O. here at camp. I mean, we've kind of seen this movie before.
Yes.
And so I think there's kind of a natural doubt. You know, fool me once, shame on you, right? Or shame on me, right?
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to get involved in that. Yeah, I won't get fooled again. George Bush taught me that.
Lydia's all ready to cut you up.
W already taught me I won't get fooled again.
Yes.
But I feel like we've unfortunately been fooled by this before, and people don't want to. Is there a chance that we're not talking enough about Brandon Marshall?
He's going to have to ramp it up because he's not going to be a special teams factor. You know, he's going to have to, I think, in a hurry here over the next few weeks, show that he can be available, because I don't think they're going to keep an aging guy on there that has no versatility, that they have to monitor every single day and limit rep after rep after rep. So he's going to have to step it up. He talked about yesterday with the professor, though, what in cut number three here, what he can still bring to the table.
The same things I've been adding to the teams I've played with in the past. There's no different. I know everybody's looking at my age. They're looking at, he was injured last year. And that's the special thing about this opportunity, right? I get the chance to go out there and prove it. But definitely, the experience and my wits, being able to make big plays and be a monster in the red zone, be a monster on third down, demolish one-on-one coverage. That's always been my mentality. Whenever I'm one-on-one, there shouldn't be anyone in the NFL that should be able to stop me.
But is that still true?
Yeah, and I mean, that's what he's going to have to prove against Shaq and Byron Maxwell. He's going to have some good guys going up against to prove whether he can still do that. One other last little thing with him, and you like to say, Mike, don't be the one to say it. Let others talk about you. It was, I think, for Russell Wilson, awfully nice to have a Hall of Fame caliber receiver say, yeah, dude, this one of the three best. It's about, as good as anybody I've ever played with, if not the best, of what Russell is capable of doing. Just from a QB position, that's nice to have a wide receiver say that about you.
Takeaways.
I think I watched my favorite drill yesterday of camp. It was in the D-line group, and they were actually working on tackling. It was amazing. So they had to hit that pad, that little sled that the linebackers were hitting, Mike. So they hit that, they extend, they kind of throw that thing out of the way. And then they've got to take an angle on a would-be running back and get their head across. And they're trying to teach the fundamental of head and shoulder and really leverage in that moment. But they didn't do it tackling a dummy, or they didn't do it tackling a coaching analyst. They did it tackling one another. So there was Rasheem Green tackling Jaron Reed, and there was all the D linemen. And let me tell you, when Puna Ford played running back,
people got to see Puna Ford because nobody knows who that is yet. Puna Ford's like 5'7", 300 pounds, with arms as like 6 feet long a piece.
So, and Puna's dream, I'm sure, like Vita Vea playing running back in high school. Like, yeah, about time I get to play a little running back. So imagine Refrigerator Perry, right? All of a sudden take a little toss sweep, and I forget who tried to tackle him, who did get tackled, and was like, when in the world am I going to tackle a 320-pound bowling ball?
Is Mike Tolbert still on the lane?
Yeah, but it was fun drill to watch.
That's awesome. All right, those are Brock's takeaways from yesterday. I wouldn't want to tackle Puna Ford. Oh, thank you.
It was great. Hey, quick, can I do a super real quick good and bad?
Yeah.
Yesterday, Trey Flowers continues to look good.
Good.
He just continues to look the part. And Keenan Reynolds, man, every single day. If I've watched him seven practices every single day.
Who is that?
That guy, he's the little Navy quarterback who was the all-time leading touchdown maker in college football. Played for the Ravens, got cut, picked up, little slot guy. And in Doug's absence, I mean, he looks like Doug Baldwin body type-wise. He has just been awesome. I need to see more out of Mingo. I need to see more out of Marcus Smith. Those guys probably on the other side been a little bit underwhelming.
Jerron Brown.
Yeah. He had a nice touchdown yesterday, but there's more that that he can bring to the
table. Has anyone noticed Amara Darbo at all?
No. He did get by. He did get by a receiver, a little underthrown pass, unfortunately, by the backup QB, cost him a touchdown. But yeah, not anything of huge significance.
All right, those are Brock's takeaways from camp, and special thanks to Bobby Wagner. I've really enjoyed talking to him, man, and seeing his ascension to really be the captain and leader of this team has been really
just
fun
comfort,
to watch.
Right? Just comfortable,
yeah, and a really
whatever
comfortable
question you got, whatever you want to throw my way, I'll tackle it.
Great body language, and you hear him sort of talk about Earl Thomas, and he knows what's going on here, and he's not going to allow it to affect his team. I think that's really great. And so I really, a lot of respect for Bobby Wagner. All right, it's baseball trade deadline day. We're kind of bouncing back and forth between football and baseball all throughout the day. A great win for the Mariners last night. Maybe their best win of the year so far because of who it came against and the way they did it and finding a way to scratch out a couple of runs against Gerrit Cole, who had Cy Young, no-hit type of stuff last night. That's a really big win. Trade deadlines today. Will Jerry be able to make one more move? We'll talk to John Morosi real quick next. I'm Rock and Salk.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I do wrong.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
We want to be open to opportunity. I said yesterday I wouldn't anticipate anything happening, but frankly, I'm not going to be surprised if it does. We have a couple of lines in the water on different ways we feel like we can add to the club and maybe get a little bit more versatile, particularly on the position player side. I'd be surprised if we do anything else with the pitching staff.
Mariners general manager on with us 1 hour ago. It's Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN. Seattle This Hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We're over at Seahawks training camp, so bouncing back and forth between football and baseball throughout the day as the trade deadline looms just, 4.5 hours from now. Let's talk to John Morosi, who's going to take just a couple of minutes with us today in the Venue Kings hotline. We'll talk to Jeff Passan at 9, but John doing an off-week hit because of the trade deadline. John, it's the day. What's going on this morning?
Doing great. This is basically a Merry Christmas for all of the baseball insiders and aficionados around the world. It's an exciting day and a frenzied day. Glad to share it with you and hope all is going well at Seahawks training camp as well.
All right, so real quick, Jerry made 3 moves for relievers over the last few days. You get the righty, Tua Valala from St. Louis, and then yesterday Adam Warren and Zach Duke. What do you make of the haul?
I like it. I think that Tui Vailala, I was in St. Louis last week and talking to people there. That they had said he had really started to come into his own the last couple months there, and just in terms of his stuff. He's a great, great guy. So I think that really fits into the clubhouse very well. Warren, I think, and Duke, you know, 2 veterans. Warren was really a very popular Yankee for a long time, and I think that can't be overstated here, that he has been in the in big games at Yankee Stadium and pitching in a marquee bullpen for a long time, where the Yankees bullpen just got so deep that all of a sudden he was expendable. And I think that's a really nice pickup for the Mariners. And he's just so experienced. And of course, Duke gives them one more matchup lefty. So I'd be excited if I was a Mariner fan about that haul. It's not necessarily the sexiest part of your roster to develop and add to during the deadline, but I think it was necessary. It was very welcome, and I think the key thing is you've brought in guys who have pitched in pennant races before, which I think is really important as you add experience to a bullpen that has not collectively, at least, been to the playoffs together before.
Well, John, it kind of fits, doesn't it? This isn't a flashy, sexy team. They've had to earn everything. A lot of them 1-run, 2-run varieties. So continue to bolster that bullpen. That being said, over the next 4 hours, you said you were going to do a little homework on Adam Jones for us. We're still hoping, I think, as fans and analysts watching these guys at a bat, maybe a center fielder can be brought in. Anything on either of those fronts can be done in the next 4 hours?
Yeah, I would say, Brock, that, you know, I checked on the Jones possibility. It sounded to me like the teams that were most involved on him, at least when I checked on it most recently, was the Phillies and the Indians. And interestingly, the possibilities there seem to be getting reduced because Adam doesn't sound all that eager to waive his no-trade clause. Now, if the Mariners were to jump back in and all of a sudden, then you get a chance to go back to the team with which you began your career, that could potentially, I think, be something that would appeal to Adam. But from what I can tell right now, there was nothing especially hot with the Mariners as of last night with Adam Jones. Intriguingly, Andrew McCutchen, the Giants have now moved more towards a selling mode here in recent days as they have struggled. And McCutchen does not have a no-trade clause. He, like Adam, is a 5-time All-Star outfielder who won a gold medal for Team USA at the World Baseball Classic. So I think he would bring that same righty bat. Probably he is best in an outfield corner now. I think at the moment I would say Adam is probably the better defensive center fielder right now than McCutchen. But I think similar veteran leadership, of course, been to the playoffs before. He's been an MVP before. there's a lot to like with McCutchen, and I think between the two, I am a little more confident that McCutchen will move than Jones would. And I would also add Curtis Granderson. Granderson is somebody, a lefty bat, that I think we see what he has brought, for so many years, leadership. You're not going to find a better guy in baseball. And certainly I think Safeco would be a bit more, I think, advantageous for his swing with a lefty pull hitter. So perhaps Curtis could be in the similar reserve outfielder role. He was, of course, with the Dodgers last year in the World Series. He has been in the World Series with the Mets and the Tigers before. So a very widely respected player who's had a solid year for the Jays as a platoon, sort of 60% of the time type hitter that I think would be a nice addition for the Mariners or potentially somebody else.
What do you think about what the Astros did yesterday? I mean, forgetting for a moment about the non-baseball side of getting Osuna, and we're going to talk more about that, but just from a baseball perspective, picking up a pitcher of that caliber.
Well, Mike, it's a good question, and certainly there is a baseball side, and it's hard to separate the baseball side from the human side here, and the concerns away from the field. And I'm actually speaking to you from Toronto right now. There's a court date tomorrow for Osuna in the domestic violence incident. He's already served or is nearing the end of a 75-game suspension for a domestic violence incident. And the Blue Jays had decided that they were not going to have him pitch for them again at the major league level. They had made that choice as an organization, which I support and I think was the right move by them, both ethically and from the standpoint of their organization. And they made the decision that they were going to make the best trade they could, and they traded him. The Astros, and I think you're seeing, and we saw this from Verlander yesterday in his comments, Justin Verlander had been very forthright in talking about a domestic violence incident involving a former Astros prospect earlier in the year, and now it's the very uncomfortable situation of adding somebody to your clubhouse who is still under investigation with an active court case for domestic violence. So it's very hard for me to separate the two, because that is going to be part of the context in which he joined the club. And listen, we've seen Aroldis Chapman. He was suspended for domestic violence. He came back. He was the closer on a team that won the World Series for the Cubs. This is not a situation where anybody feels really good about it. It's a very difficult situation to parse, and I think it will be a difficult situation for the Astros to manage, both within the clubhouse and in their community as well.
Real quick, where is Bryce Harper playing tomorrow?
The Nationals. Bryce Harper, I believe, will stay put. Mike Rizzo telling Chelsea James this morning, the Washington Post, that their expectation is that Bryce is going to remain a National. I would say, Mike, that it's possible we could see some other moves by the Nationals with their bullpen. Sean Kelly is one possibility to move. Kelvin Herrera, Ryan Madsen, or maybe even in their rotation. Ken Rosenthal reporting the Brewers have had some conversations with them about Gio Gonzalez, so stay tuned there. I also think one of the bigger deadline stories to watch unfold today is Chris Archer, and I believe the Braves at the moment are the most probable destination. I'm not going to say it's likely yet, but I think they're the team to watch on Chris Archer.
John, we know you're busy today. Thanks for taking a few quick minutes for us and give us an update. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoy trade deadline day and training camp as well, and look forward to catching up to you next week.
Absolutely. All right, there you go. That is great stuff from John Morosi. This is a big day for him, Brock. So
yes,
to take a few minutes
all
there
of these guys
on the Venue Kings hotline is good. I'll tell you what, I can't imagine them adding another left-handed hitting outfielder. They just have so many of them, and unless
those
you're
are familiar names, right? McCutchen and Granderson, and those are familiar names, but none of those move my needle.
No.
No, I don't think
Granderson definitely doesn't, but McCutchen, I could be intrigued by McCutchen just because of the right-handed bat. I mean, I know he's not having a good
year. I don't want to see Gamel in center field. I don't want to see Haniger necessarily
not really.
Center field.
Yeah,
nope.
It's not ideal. Believe me, it's a matter of what you're giving up. I certainly wouldn't give up the farm for him. Of the names, Adam Jones is the one you keep coming back to. Cameron Maben's name will come up again and again. You know, he's okay. I'm not going to be mad if you trade for Cameron Maben, certainly, but he's not a significant upgrade over what you have right now, right?
Nope. And Bryce, don't go to Oakland. Just stay put right there in D.C.
Stay in the
You're
United
just States. Fine. Just
seriously.
Fine.
I don't want any part of seeing Bryce Harper in Oakland for the rest of the year.
Why are you laughing at me, Howdy? Don't be laughing
Oakland.
At me. Huh? Why are you laughing at me?
Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
You see what Oakland decided to do? Like their ownership and said they're not even going to have season tickets next year. People can just sit wherever they want to sit in that dump. Dump of a stadium.
And watch a team that just keeps winning every single night. What, they dropped 10 yesterday on Toronto?
They're a sham and a fraud.
Uh-huh. Shams and frauds who just score 10 runs every single night come
every
back to
win. Every now and then.
Okay. John Morosi talking some baseball. That was good. We'll talk to Jeff Passan to throw water all over our fun coming up in 20 minutes. Right after good news, bad news, no news. And there's a lot of news in there from Jerry DePoto, from the game last night, from Paxson's return. We'll dig into all of it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Good stuff there from John Morosi. Great from Bobby Wagner. Busy morning here on Brock and Salk and Jeff Passanel. Throw water all over it. Actually, I want to talk to Jeff about the article he wrote today about what's going on in Houston with Ozuna. That should be, he's pretty passionate about that. Should be an interesting conversation coming up in about 15 minutes. You'll want to hear who picked off Russell Wilson yesterday. That's one story as we get to the news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
James Paxton pitched 7 shutout innings and struck out 8 Astros in his first start back from the DL.
Yeah, that was tremendous news, and really the only hiccup was the first inning, which I think was probably to be expected, and with a little bit of rust and coming back and finding his slot and rhythm. And Evan Gattis misses a 3-run home run just barely, and after that it was fairly smooth sailing, just 82 pitches as well. You love that. And because at times this season that pitch count has ramped up, they were going to be, you know, pretty staunch about it yesterday. It was going to be about 85 pitches. Worked out great that he got through 7, turned it over to Colum A. Diaz, yet another shutout for the Mariners.
Yeah, I'll say not only good news, it was the best news. Even if they had lost that game, if they hadn't scratched out the runs and the bullpen had given it up, I would have said that that was great news from yesterday. That was what they needed to see. And you kind of forget, look, over this little stretch here where they haven't played as well, they've been missing their ace. They've been missing James Paxton, and not just the games he didn't start, because it was really only 1 or 2, but the games leading up to it where he wasn't quite himself. To see him throw a 97 right from the jump last night, to dominate, and to even in the 7th inning do his thing where you could tell he was done after that inning, and he let it all go to make sure he got out of the 7th, finished it up with that strikeout. I thought that was as good a news as we could have had.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Mariners acquired 2 relievers yesterday, lefty Zach Duke and righty Adam Warren.
Yeah, this is goodish news, I guess I would say. I mean, I like the thinking behind it. They didn't give up a whole lot. Chase DeYoung, who was acquired for nothing and really hasn't done all that much, plus some international slot money. So they didn't give up all that much, but what did they get back? Yeah, a couple of guys with veteran experience and some experience in pennant chases. That's the good news part of it. But I don't know they're either are dominant kind of game-changing players. We'll wait and see. I'm curious to see whether Duke can get lefties out consistently. And Warren obviously has had a lot of success as a right-hander. So good news, not quite great news.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Goodish. But it just does, at least in a very positive manner, I think, continue to fit with Service and DePoto and the way they want to do it. They want to be versatile. Now, these aren't guys with options. With length and control, that's Tui. These are 2 veteran guys that have played in some big moments. They've got a lot of innings under their belt. I think I was looking at a stat last night. I believe it's Duke maybe up there with Felix of number of games played without reaching a World Series. Either he or Warren are in the top 10 on that list. But guys that have a whole lot of background, the heartbeat should not be racing. The game should not get out ahead of them. And you still have Diaz and Colum A at the back end, and these are just pieces to fit in before them. The more pieces, the more versatility. Good news for Scott Service.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Shaquem Griffin picked off Russell Wilson in a 7-on-7 goal line drill yesterday. Did we decide, is it Keem? Or what are the nicknames this year?
Shaq and Griff? Shaquille was the one who originally said that they called him Keem, but then he switched it to Shaq, but now his brother's here.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner said settled on Shaquille is Shaq and Shaquem is Griff.
Oh. Well, that's confusing.
I'm going to just call him Shaquem, and back-to-back days with takeaways is good news for that guy. Pete Carroll singled him out at minicamp of saying, okay, we finally really felt his speed on the field and some of that explosiveness, not thinking quite as much, could cut it loose. And, yeah, the pads come on the last 2 days. Is there any surprise? The guy that was a defensive player in the year that just made things happen consistently for an undefeated UCF team is doing the same on the practice field with a fumble, with a pick. I'm not surprised, and that's good news.
Yeah, I'll go better than that. This is great news, Brock. This is some of my favorite. favorite news in a while. And maybe it's the one-hand bandit in me, but the fact that, he's able to not only come up with fumble recoveries, but interceptions and catch the ball with one hand, I think that is just remarkable, and I am I'm overjoyed for that. Yeah, I wish it didn't come against Russell Wilson, but he is, in my mind, the best story out here at camp, and to see him do that is special. It's awesome.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Astros acquired suspended reliever Roberto Osuna from the Blue Jays yesterday.
Yeah, this is bad news all the way around. Roberto Osuna has been accused of some really awful things. Was suspended for 75 games for his role in a domestic violence incident. The Blue Jays had made the decision to never bring him back, and in their mind, they were able to acquire at least some prospects for it. The problem here is kind of threefold. One, he makes Houston better, and that's a team that you're competing against. Two, he's allowed to participate in the postseason, unlike Robinson Cano, because apparently taking medication is worse than beating the heck out of a woman. And three, it's just dirty. It's just dirty, dirty, dirty that Houston goes out and does this. And then Jeff Luhnow to go out and say, we have a zero tolerance policy on this, is such garbage. This is bad news all the way around.
Okay, well, can I spin it in any way in a positive manner?
Yeah, maybe,
in a Mariners
maybe
manner?
They implode around
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, you know what? Maybe a Verlander Good. Is like, you know, why are we bringing this dirtbag in? Why are we making this move? Why are you making me and putting me in this kind of position as a guy that's been out front on domestic incidents? And is this desperation? Right? Are we making a desperate move here because our closers and our bullpen has been a disaster and been a mess for us for some stretches of this season, and you're going to go this far? You're going to put this, and you're going to put character and team and everything we talk about, you're going to put that on the back burner? So can I spin that in any yes. way and hope that it helps implode that team just
Absolutely.
A little bit more?
Absolutely. You know, we got a text here, let me see if I can find it, just a moment ago, saying that, man, the Astros have become unlikable in a hurry. They are Altuve, Correa, and Springer, but then surrounded by abuser Osuna, racist Gurriel, and fun cop McCann.
Yeah.
Oh, fun cop Dallas Keuchel as well.
Oh, he's a fun cop?
Oh, he was complaining, remember, around the trade deadline last year. Like, he's been complaining for about a year.
They are an interesting combination of guys that are pretty easy to root for, even if they're not your guys, and guys that really are pretty hateable. I mean, Reddick has always been fun. As this guy said, Altuve and Correa and Springer are generally a blast. How mad was Springer last night? He kept getting mad at the high strike. It's like, yeah, dude, that's a strike, and I love it. I love that he gets mad, and I love making him mad. The Astros are kind of fun. They're fun to play against. And
they're really fun to beat, which was really cool last
Absolutely.
Night.
They are exhausting, though, man. You go through that order, like, does this thing ever give up? And you didn't even have Correa and Altuve in it. Sheesh. All right. We'll talk some more about both those issues with Jeff Passan. He wrote passionately about Osuna, and we'll discuss that, plus the trade deadline, everything else the Mariners can do here with Jeff. Coming up next, I'm Brock and Salk.